out this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you this morning from the Word of God. We are grateful for that opportunity, the ability to do so, to have it in such an easy format and readily accessible for us to be able to look at and study at any point that we possibly could need. We study things because we want to learn, don't we? We look at things because, read through them because we want to understand what is contained therein. In our lives, there are sometimes things that we don't have knowledge of. And we have to seek people out in order to be able to help us with those things. We look for people with proper training and abilities to accomplish specific tasks that we possibly can't do on our own. You might have car problems. I know a little bit about cars. I don't know enough to open up the hood and try and fix a bunch of things. I can guess at some things, what might be wrong with it, but I'm not the type of person to get in and actually fix those mechanical issues. So I would search out a knowledgeable mechanic, someone who is able to take that knowledge which he has and go in and apply it in the way that we have. And because we find value in that, we're willing to pay that person for that help, for what he gives to us. If you have health issues, you go to a doctor. You let them take care of you. They've got education, they've got training, experience over the years in treating people, and a desire ultimately to heal. Their desires align with yours. You also want to be healed. And when that doctor treats us and or reduces, either heals us or reduces our pain or discomfort in some way, we certainly find value in that and we pay them for that, don't we? If you have tax problems, you're going to seek out somebody who understands the IRS tax laws, right? Those things which you might not fully understand, they're quite complicated as you go through that. And if you find that person who is helpful in that, you're willing to have them possibly do your taxes for you if it is something that is of a complicated nature. Same thing with legal issues. We seek out a lawyer, someone who has gone to school, who's trained in the law, to give us legal advice or representation. And we see value in that, and we pay them for it. Well, the Lord has also defined certain characteristics and abilities for his followers if they're to be of value to him. And because of our need to study and desire to study, we need to be aware of what those characteristics are, those things that are required by the Lord. These are not optional. These are required by the Lord. Now, we need to keep in mind that the world generally confuses what they believe is important with what the Lord thinks is important. But we're going to focus on what the Lord thinks is important. So the first thing that you have to have is a changed life. Turn over to Matthew in the 18th chapter. Matthew 18, the very beginning of that chapter, starting in verse 2, it says, "And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says that we have to change. He's speaking to his disciples here. He's using the word converted or turn in your version. Now, conversion means to change something from one thing into something else. This change is likened in the scriptures to putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Let's turn over now to Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4. Verse 22, starting through verse 24. To lay aside in reference to your former conduct the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You can see there that there is a creation that is happening. The likeness of God, this has been created, this new man that is there. You're being renewed in, as verse 23 says, in the spirit of your mind. Right? We all understand the idea of renewing something, right? When you've got something, something kind of gets worn down. It's not as useful. It's not as valuable as something. So you might take it and get it refurbished. You might take it and fix it in a way, patch it in a way, that ultimately it becomes new again. You're making it where it had value, it's losing value. You take and you get it renewed. You're taking it back to that valuable state. Okay? Also in Colossians in the third chapter, verses 9 and 10 of Colossians, says, do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with its evil practices, and have put on the new man, who is being renewed to a full knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. Making it better once again, restoring it to its most useful and absolute perfect state. That's the idea of renewing something. Now, question is, when does this happen? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. So once we are in Christ, we are the new creation. One of my favorite passages is in Romans, in the 12th chapter, in verse 2, where it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Once again, the idea of renewing, transforming, taking something from one state and putting it into another state. See, this idea is used over and over and over again in scriptures. Now, unless we're changed, that means we can't be of value to the Lord. This is what he wants us to be. This is what he's asking of us. You can see in Colossians in the 3rd chapter. Your fingers will get a workout today from the passages we're going to look at. But that just means that all of these things are backed up by Scripture, and because of which they are important for you to know. In Colossians, in the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 12, it says, so as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and graciously forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. Above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God cannot will not use those that remain in sin, who walk in their old ways, who are selfish to do what they want to do, what they find acceptable, what they find is pleasurable, what they find is desirable for themselves. He won't and He cannot use that. He will sanctify, won't He? He'll set apart for His purpose, for His use, only those who are willing to change. Those that aren't willing to change, He has no use for them. If I have an old car, which I do, which currently isn't running, it isn't of any use to me. Right? Now I could go get it fixed, have it renewed, and then it would be useful again. Right now, it's sitting in the driveway doing nothing and collecting pine straw on top of it. But ultimately, that's us. If we are not willing to change, to renew, to do those things which God has asked us to do, we're not useful to Him. And that's what we need to understand. All right, so you have to be a changed individual, don't you? And we see that happens when you go into Christ and you can't go back to those old ways which you followed. You can't put the old man back on. But the second thing is a readiness to serve. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians in the first chapter. And verse 9. It says, "For they themselves report about us what kind of an entrance we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God." Now, Paul said that the Thessalonians had turned from idols to serve a living and true God. If you look up above in verse 3 of this chapter, this service is described. It says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father." It gives you the what. It's a work of faith. It gives you the why, a labor of love. They did it out of love. And then it gives you for how long that should last. And that steadfastness of hope. Steadfastness means a continuance. It means going on and on and on. Right? It's not, I'll take care of this now. I'll have this hope now and do these things now. But then, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, maybe I won't be so strong in that. Maybe I won't show up to services, to Bible study. Oh, but I'll come back to it. That's not what He's asking for us. He wants us to be steadfast. That means continuous. That means when you understand that you are living your life for Christ, then you are living your life for Christ every single day. Not when it's convenient for you. Not when you decide, well, I feel like it today. No, this is an everyday occurrence for us. Turn over to Matthew in the 20th chapter. Matthew in the 20th chapter, verses 25 through 28. This is after James and John's mother had asked about some things, making the request about where they would sit when the kingdom came. Starting in verse 25, it says, "But Jesus called them to Himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many.'" Greatness in the kingdom is achieved through service. That's what's pointed out here. Jesus, who has been now exalted, is our example for this. And he led a life and death of service, didn't he? That's what he says here. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life up, in fact, for us. The Lord needs workers in the vineyard. If you've got a vineyard and you have grapes that are growing out there, well, if you don't go and harvest them, if you don't go and take care of the things that need to be taken care of, there is no harvest, is there? There's nothing at that point to be done. The birds will take them. They will shrivel up on the vine and fall off. They will be of zero value at that point. There's no need for idle bystanders just to be looking out at the vineyard and saying, yep, it looks like it's about time to go out and do the work. Does that get the work done? It absolutely doesn't. There's no need for audience or mere observers. Don't apply for the position of being a follower of Jesus Christ if you're just going to watch. That's not what he's asking us to do. We have to be participants in the kingdom. It means there's work to be done, and we set about doing it. Now, there's plenty to do. Right? I'm up here giving a sermon right now. Not everybody is going to do that. But there are other things that people can do, aren't there? We showed up here for a cleanup day yesterday. We cleaned up the grounds. We cleaned up the inside of the building. It looks really good. As we've said, we appreciate those who showed up for that. There are people here who were not here for that, and you may have had things going on, and you may have been sick, and you may have had a real reason not to be here. Or did you choose to do something else? Did you decide that something else was more important? Well, I had planned on going to the store. Well, I had planned on doing this. Well, I really wanted to watch this ball game that's coming on. Well, I really wanted to do this or do that. There's plenty to do. We can clean up those grounds. We can teach classes. We can teach the lost, those that are outside of the body of Christ. We can hand out tracts to people. There are small things that can be done that don't take much effort. But at least you've attempted to spread the gospel message when you do those things. We can prepare the care cards that are in the back. Even signing the care cards is something. The smallest of things. And if you can do the smallest of things, then I challenge all of us to try and do a little bit larger thing than that. Each and every time. If you can do this little bit, well, let's stretch ourselves and try and do a little bit more. And a little bit more. And a little bit more. We have to serve. That is what the Lord is asking for us to do. That first song that we sang this morning, I Am Thine, O Lord, we sang, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. Set me apart for thy service. Did you mean it? You sang it. If you're asking God to do that and you didn't mean it, were you lying to God? Paul urged the Romans to a life of service in Romans in the 12th chapter in verse 1. Romans 12 in verse 1. Therefore I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Living sacrifices. We're living now. We present ourselves and give ourselves over to the Lord. That's our spiritual service. Right? When we do those things, we act in the way that God wants us to act, to do the things that He asks us to do, then we are in His service. Turn over to Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. We offer God acceptable service, right? That means things that He finds acceptable, not what we always consider acceptable, right? There are things that man would deem as, well, that makes sense. God is smarter than we are. We rely on God to tell us this is what He wants. We don't assume to understand what God wants beyond what He has told us. So that's what we do. With reverence and awe, it says, we give this service. We have to recognize who He is. We have to recognize what He has done for us. And in return, we do what He asks from us. That's the relationship that we have. Earlier, Jake read John 12 in the 26th verse. It lets us know that those who serve the Lord, who do what He asks us to do in the way He asks us to do it, are going to find favor with the Father. The Father finds value in those servants. And He will compensate them for that. Right? To give them something beyond what they are giving. We also have to have, and the third thing, is a commitment to faithfulness and steadfastness. Turn to Matthew in the 24th chapter. Verses 45 through 47. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Jesus is indicating here the approval that is given to the faithful servant. The one who is doing what he should be doing, even when the master is not there. In spite of the absence, the physical absence of the master, the obligation to do what the master wants done is not also taken away when the master leaves. When the master comes back, he expects those things to have been done. And at that point, that servant, that slave, is judged by the master about whether they have been a faithful one. Same thing will happen with us. When the Lord returns, we will be judged. Have we been a faithful servant to Him? If we haven't been, if we haven't done those things, if we haven't continued on in that that we have been charged with doing, well, we'll be held accountable. The same way that that servant would be held accountable for not having those tasks done. In the parable of the talents, in the 25th chapter of Matthew, one chapter over, those who used the talents given to them were told by the Lord in verse 21 and verse 23, says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into that joy of your master. People who aren't dependable. Have you ever encountered those people? Maybe you worked with those people? Might be members of your own family. You can't count on them to do something that you anticipate or expect or ask them to do. Those people are a disappointment, aren't they, to us? We wish that they would just do what they should be doing, but they don't. They don't realize how it affects others when they don't do those things. Or if they do realize how it affects others in a negative way, they don't care. Those people are discouragement. Difficult to deal with them. It's almost better to deal with somebody who has no pretense at all that they would do what they're expected to do. You know, going into it, someone says, "Yep, I won't be there." At least then you know, hey, don't count on them. Don't rely on their help. Don't rely on them to be there for you. Because you know from the get-go, they're just not going to be a part of it. Turn over to Colossians in the first chapter. Colossians 1. Verses 22 and 23 of Colossians 1. It says, "But now he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which is proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." Paul states that the Colossians could be holy, could be without blemish, blameless, beyond reproach before Jesus through his death. His death, his blood, could take those sins away from us. But there's a condition there. If they continued in the faith, firmly grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Jesus did his part. We have to do ours. That first song that we sang, "I Am Thine, O Lord," we sang, "Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope." Steadfast. You want to be steadfast. Did you mean it? You sang it. We need to understand the things that we are singing to God. We are talking to each other and bringing that praise to God, saying, this is what we feel, this is what we know, this is what we desire. When we sing songs and we sing these words, we're telling each one of us, this is what I want. Well, if you don't mean that, then you're lying to your brethren. If you don't mean that, you're lying to the Lord. It's not a position any of us want to be in. In Colossians, in the second chapter, verses 5 through 7, Paul says that he saw their steadfastness of their faith in Christ, their stability. It says, "For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and being built up in him, and having been established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and abounding with thanksgiving." We can overcome a lot of things. We can overcome a lack of talent. Maybe we're not the best singers in the world. I don't think any of us in here are signing a recording contract anytime soon. Does that matter to God? It absolutely doesn't. We don't have to be the most eloquent person. Being able to get up and speak in front of people, let's use some big words, not necessary. Kenny Owens preaches here all the time. He's about as plain talking as you're going to find. And he gets his point across every single time. We don't have to have a lot of education. We don't have to have gone to an Ivy League school or to a college at all or even finished high school. Because we can look in the Bible and study that and understand those things, because that's where the importance lies. We can miss all those, not have all those things to help us in some way. But if we lack the steadfastness, that's going to destroy the hope of good and the surety of doing the Lord's will in our lives. We won't be able to do it. We can't flip it on and off with a switch and say, okay, I'm ready to go. Oh, turn it back off. Got to save my energy. Oh, ready to go again. It's not how it's intended by the Lord. 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's encouraging the Corinthians to be steadfast, to be immovable, knowing it would not be in vain. How do we know it won't be in vain? Turn over to Revelation in the second chapter. Revelation 2 and verse 10. This is to the church in Smyrna, where Christ is telling them, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Doesn't say be faithful for as long as you want. Doesn't say for be faithful as long as you can last. It says be faithful unto death. Then they would be given the crown of life. We're given the crown of life. Will anything we have gone through been in vain? Not a single thing. It will make it all worthwhile. Once again, that first song we sang, my will be lost in thine. Now that means obedience, doesn't it? That means I'm putting away what I would want for what God wants. We've talked about the things about what God wants from us. Did you mean it when you sang that? Or were they just words? If they're just words and they don't mean anything, then what are you doing here? What are any of us doing here if that's our attitude? 1 Peter in the first chapter. 1 Peter 1 starting in verse 13, it says, therefore, having girded your minds for action, being sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not being conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your conduct. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your sojourn, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your futile conduct inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Skipping down to verse 22, it says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a love of the brothers without hypocrisy, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. These requirements that we've talked about, having that changed life, having that readiness to serve, a commitment to faithfulness and steadfastness that we have. All of those things summed up in one word, obedience. We obey the Lord and what He wants us to do. Do you want to be of value to the Lord? Is that something you're interested in doing? So that you can receive the crown of righteousness when He comes back? I think that's why we're all here, right? We want that. But in order to receive that, we have to do those conditional things that He's asked us to do. And if we're not, if we're sitting on the sidelines, if we're not involved in the work in the kingdom, then there's a problem. You're saying that crown of righteousness isn't worthy enough for me to give up my time, my efforts, my own desires. That's a bad trade, my friends. We need to understand what is at stake for us. We can't be like those in Antioch of Pisidia who rejected the teaching of Paul that was recorded in Acts in the 13th chapter in verse 46. It's not complicated. You have to believe in the Lord. You have to repent and turn away from your former ways. You have to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. You have to be baptized. And then, having entered the kingdom at that point, it's time to do some work. You've shown up the first day on a new job. You better treat it as such. Because if we don't do the work that's expected of us, we all know what would happen at our own jobs out in the world. We wouldn't be in them very long. We aren't doing the things that are required and asked of us. You can expect not to be known by the Lord come the judgment day. We don't want to be in that position. We have to render our service faithfully to Him, steadfastly, to the end of our lives. And then we will have value to the Lord. And at that point, He's going to abundantly reward us with the crown of righteousness. It's pretty simple when you think about it. Unfortunately, many in this world are unwilling to do what it takes. Simple as it is, for the short period of time we're here on this earth to do the things that the Lord wants us to do, they're unwilling to do so. And they're sacrificing their eternity for that. There are many people on the judgment day, I believe, that will be shocked, thinking, well, I was a Christian. I was a follower of Jesus. Did you do everything He asked you to do? Did you even try? I'm not saying we're always going to be successful in everything that we do, that we're always going to be perfect. We know we're not. But I can tell you, we'll never get it right if we never try. We have the opportunity now to take that step to make your life right with the Lord. If you haven't been baptized, we have an opportunity now to help you with that. We can baptize you into Jesus Christ. You become part of the kingdom. And then we get to work. Perhaps you had put off that old man already and put on the new man. That new man's become tarnished. You've stepped away. You haven't been as present as you should. You haven't done the things that are required of you by the Lord. Not by me. Not by this congregation. By the Lord. But you can make those things correct too. You can come back and ask for forgiveness. You can ask Him to forgive you of those things that you've done and to help you be stronger so that you can be steadfast, serve Him faithfully until the end of our lives. If you have need of either of those options, please come to the front as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.